Chapter 57. He was very generous and noble to me in those days, I assure you, ma'am, apostrophe said I, and I stood in need of such a friend. I should have been quite crushed without him. Apostrophe, he is always generous and noble, apostrophe said Mrs. Steerforth, proudly. I subscribed to this with all my heart, God knows. She knew I did, for the stateliness of her manner already abated towards me, except when she spoke in praise of him, and then her air was always lofty. It was not a fit school generally for my son, apostrophe said she, far from it, but there were particular circumstances, to be considered at the time, of more importance even than that selection. My son's high spirit made it desirable that he should be placed with some man who felt its superiority, and would be content to bow himself before it, and we found such a man there. Apostrophe, I knew that, knowing the fellow. And yet I did not despise him the more for it, but thought it a redeeming quality in him, if he could be allowed any grace for not resisting one so irresistible as Steerforth. My son's great capacity was tempted on, there, by a feeling of voluntary emulation and conscious pride, apostrophe the fond lady went on to say. He would have risen against all constraint, but he found himself the monarch of the place, and he haughtily determined to be worthy of his station. It was like himself. Apostrophe, I echoed, with all my heart and soul, that it was like himself. So my son took, of his own will, and on no compulsion, to the course in which he can always, when it is his pleasure, outstrip every competitor, apostrophe she pursued. My son informs me, Mr. Copperfield, that you were quite devoted to him, and that when you met yesterday you made yourself known to him with tears of joy. I should be an affected woman, if I made any pretense of being surprised by my son's inspiring such emotions. But I cannot be indifferent to anyone who is so sensible of his merit, and I am very glad to see you here, and can assure you, that he feels an unusual friendship for you, and that you may rely on his protection. Apostrophe, Miss Dartle played backgammon as eagerly as she did everything else. If I had seen her, first, at the board, I should have fancied, that her figure had got thin, and her eyes had got large, over that pursuit, and no other in the world. But I am very much mistaken, if she missed a word of this, or lost a look of mine as I received it with the utmost pleasure, and honored by Mrs. Steerforth's confidence, felt older than I had done, since I left Canterbury. When the evening was pretty far spent, and a tray of glasses and decanters came in, Steerforth promised, over the fire, that he would seriously think of going down into the country with me. There was no hurry, he said. A week hence would do, and his mother hospitably said the same. While we were talking, he more than once called me Daisy, which brought Miss Dartle out again. But really, Mr. Copperfield, apostrophe she asked, is it a nickname? And why does he give it you? Is it a? Because he thinks you young and innocent? I am so stupid in these things. Apostrophe, I colored in replying, that I believed it was. Oh. Apostrophe said Miss Dartle. Now I am glad to know that. I ask for information, and I am glad to know it. He thinks you young and innocent, and so you are his friend. Well, that's quite delightful. Apostrophe, she went to bed soon after this, and Mrs. Steerforth retired too. Steerforth and I, after lingering for half an hour over the fire, talking about Traddles and all the rest of them at Old Salem House, went upstairs together. Steerforth's room was next to mine, and I went in to look at it. It was a picture of comfort, full of easy chairs, cushions and footstools, worked by his mother's hand, and with no sort of thing omitted that could help to render it complete. Finally, her handsome features looked down on her darling from a portrait on the wall, as if it were even something to her, that her likeness should watch him while he slept. I found the fire burning clear enough in my room by this time, and the curtains drawn before the windows and round the bed, giving it a very snug appearance. I sat down in a great chair upon the hearth, to meditate on my happiness, and had enjoyed the contemplation of it for some time, when I found a likeness of Miss Dartle looking eagerly at me from above the chimney piece. It was a startling likeness, and necessarily had a startling look. The painter hadn't made the scar, but I made it, and there it was, coming and going, now confined to the upper lip as I had seen it at dinner, and now showing the whole extent of the wound inflicted by the hammer, as I had seen it when she was passionate. I wondered peevishly why they couldn't put her anywhere else instead of quartering her on me. To get rid of her, I undressed quickly, extinguished my light, and went to bed. But, as I fell asleep, I could not forget that she was still there looking. Is it really, though? I want to know, and when I awoke in the night, I found that I was uneasily asking all sorts of people in my dreams, whether it really was, or not without knowing what I meant. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.